Hello, listeners, and welcome to our latest podcast analyzing top flight research to help your business make efficient, high-quality decisions. I'm Andy Hanasek, Editor-in-Chief of the National Provisioner, and in today's episode, I sit down with Michael Utz of Maiden Marketing and Merrill Chagall of Chagall Research to unveil their findings of their latest research efforts. Michael and Merrill presented their analysis and results today at the AMI Expo in Chicago, and I discussed the study with them shortly after their presentation ended this morning. For more information about the study, please don't hesitate to visit either presenter's website after listening to the podcast. Those websites are www.maidenmarketing.com or www.chagallresearch.com. Now, onto the podcast. I sat in on your morning session. I thought the data and the information was awesome. I guess give a brief summary just of the findings, really brief, even if you just want to talk about the conclusions you came to based on the findings of the session, just to put it in perspective for our listeners.
From a data sales perspective, we saw some incredible numbers in 2008 and 2009. Retail really benefits from a recession. Consumers try to cut back on budgets and be more conservative, and that all plays into eating more at home, bringing the family together more closely. And what we saw from a volume standpoint in at retail from the sales for meat and poultry showed some unprecedented numbers. Our big challenge is going to be where we go from here. 2010 numbers actually came back to more, not such significant increases as we saw. They leveled out a little bit from an increase standpoint, but we're still at some pretty significant numbers relative to total meat and poultry sales. Our biggest challenge from an industry standpoint is going to be to maintain those numbers as we look toward 2011 and 2012 and consider the fact that the cost of inputs is increasing. The supply numbers for all three of the major proteins, chicken, beef, and pork, are tight, and that's all going to play out in the retail meat case.
And you mentioned, Michael, during your part of the presentation, the bell curve of consumption. I think it was pounds consumption at that point. So you view it as kind of a stabilizing situation, not a slip, not a slide downward from the 09 numbers in a sense.
Right? Yeah, I use the word stabilizing to mean that we came off of some incredible years in 08 and 09. A lot of what we saw in 09 in the 8.1% increase in total meat sales was really driven by middle meats and the incredible opportunity we saw from a wholesale standpoint that went all the way to the consumer in being able to buy middle meats at an incredibly competitive price. All those numbers played out to some really big numbers for the meat and poultry industry. As we look to 2010, those numbers normalized a little bit in the sense that we didn't see huge increases like we saw, those huge percentage increases. So we're getting back to and perhaps it's a little bit of a correction. Now, does that mean that's where we're going to stand as we go to 2011 and 12? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we aren't seeing those huge increases we saw in those 2 years. There's a lot of factors that are going to drive what we see in ultimately the demand for meat and poultry at retail as we look toward the next couple of years, and a lot of things that we're going to recommend that we need to do as an industry to make sure that we try to hold those dollars at retail.
And I know that's in some of the individual species when you look at the numbers, the charts that you had where that bump up in 2009, if you took that out, it would still be an upslope from the recession on through to 2010 numbers. It was just an uptick.
Yes.
That, like you said, was middle meat.
Yes,
cost.
Exactly. If you look at, in all three species, if we look at individual beef, chicken, and pork numbers, and you look at what we saw from a volume standpoint in 2010 and compare that back to what we saw in 2007, which was just when we were starting to get geared up and it looked like we might be going into recession, the numbers are stronger. They came out stronger in 2010 than we were back then. So, huge opportunity, great for retail. Again, can we hold those numbers where they are?
Well, let's shift gears a little toward the consumer side, Merrill. Talk about some of your overall findings. We'll start with the overall view, and then we'll drill down a little bit from your portion of the presentation.
Okay, well, the data that we collected suggests that the recession's easing up a little bit for consumers, and so, really we're seeing only 2 out of 5 people who are saying, basically their behavior has not changed for about 41% or 40, okay. 40 about 2 out of 5.
Sure.
And that is in comparison to 52% of consumers who said it previously in 2009.
In 2009.
Correct.
Right.
And, you know, we're basically seeing that, you know, consumers, as we mentioned, coupons are really leading the pattern for consumers as opposed to other kinds of saving approaches. So instead of, you know, buying cheaper cuts of meat or doing something like that, we're seeing that people want what they want, and they're willing, you know, to purchase that as long as they can use coupons to help them do that.
As long as they can get it at a better price point.
Yeah, and so they're getting good quality for a reasonable price. And we saw, you know, fewer eating out less than before. So again, we're seeing some trends going back to, you know, the economy not having quite as major an impact on what it did previously in the 2 years where the recession was at its worst. And then, you know, they're still using supermarkets as their most preferred channel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's good. And, you know, we're seeing that primarily the majority of consumers have maintained their spending or increased it,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to decreased it.
In meat
which
and
is
poultry.
In meat and poultry,
yes,
which
yes.
is great. And they're basically saying that those who are spending, of those who are spending less, the primary reason is they're buying less meat and poultry overall. But that, you know, is a significant increase from the 51% in 2009, which is sort of interesting.
One of the things that really intrigued me on your end of the presentation, and I know it wasn't one versus the other, but was kind of what I guess I would call the change in the trading down within cuts, you know, the regular ground beef versus premium
exactly.
ground beef and boneless chicken breasts versus bone-in items. Can you speak a little bit towards some of that?
Right, and that actually, that's a really good point to make, because that actually reflects, again, the confidence that consumers are having in where the economy is going, that
mm-hmm.
things are improving. So again, they can, you know, perhaps have to get, not have to purchase those sort of lower cost cuts as frequently as they were purchasing them in the past 2 years.
Okay. And then on the flip side of that, the one thing I was going to ask was the premium ground beef. I know that there were some questions about that premium versus regular. Do you think that there are other factors involved in that other than economic, maybe in terms of health or anything along those lines? Just that's kind of a tangential question, but
right.
it was something that popped into mind when I was listening to your presentation.
Right. Well, Michael alluded to that, and I think that that's a very plausible explanation for the difference in between the consumer data and the retail sales data. And I think that actually will perhaps be something we maybe explore in the next round a little bit to try to understand. One of the things with a survey like this is you try to keep the closed-ended keep to closed-ended questions and not ask a lot of open-ended questions.
Sure.
So sometimes the data comes back and we don't really know the reason for their behavior change.
From a sales perspective for ground beef is a staple. I mean, we have a major part of our product at retail and at food service goes into ground beef. If we look at the different premiums versus regular, and premium in our case was 90% above or above and sirloin, the actual number, the volume number, is a lot smaller than the total ground beef category, but we do see an increase in that number that exceeds the total ground beef number. So I think that's the significant part, and that's where you start to think what's going on in the minds of the consumers. If they can afford it and they feel good about it, they're going to buy it. And I think we're seeing some of that, especially as they're feeling a little better about the economy and their budgets. They're starting to gravitate toward that a little bit more. Now, as we see things tighten up in 2011 and 2012, we may see that shift back to going toward we sort of redefine value this time as it's not all about price. It's about feeling good about what I'm buying and feeling I got it at a good price as well. as we look toward 2011 and 2012, and we see prices perhaps starting to tick up because of all the issues with supply numbers and with the input costs, we may see that value equation be translated again into, let's go back to those inexpensive cuts and start finding those to fit my budget and make my dollar go further.
So you started to get into the future. So let's talk about the future a little bit, and we can talk about, you know, the future consumer. And almost with the way the economy is going now, the future consumer is really almost the present consumer. I mean, gas prices are kind of ridiculous right now, especially here in Chicago.
Everywhere.
Yeah, and everywhere else and whatnot. And it doesn't look like that's necessarily going to be a problem that's solved quickly. Do you think consumers... You know, what are the indications? I guess it's not just do you think. What are the indications from consumers? Do they feel as though they weathered this once before, they can weather it again? Or is it an, oh no, here we go again, let's scale back kind of a setup?
Well, we were chatting about that before, and, you know, my feeling is that consumers are really smart, and they're very creative, and a lot of times product providers don't give them enough credit, and so I think that they'll find ways to work around these issues, and what they're going to look at is, you know, innovation from the providers on how they can get their protein in a way that's as cost effective as possible. And then on their side of the coin, they're going to look for new ways to prepare and you know, different ways to make the best of what's going to be a really tough situation. So, you know, you use the gas prices as an example. You know, more people will ride share, more people will take public transportation, more people will, you know, maybe stay home and not go on a road trip. That's what consumers do. They figure out ways to work around what potentially can be a negative situation. They're not going to stop eating protein, but the question is, what trade-offs are they going to make? How are they going to do it?
Are they going to buy more family packs? Are they going to use coupons more often? Are they going to look for the featured price more often? We saw featuring numbers, as reported by promo data, go down substantially in 2010 versus what we saw in 2008 and 2009. As we look toward tightening situations and perhaps an adjustment in price, we may have to see retailers step up and do some more featuring to keep that consumer coming back, and to try to identify the balance between those products that they want to buy and feature, and feel, and then be able to balance that with the products that they really would like to buy, and see how that all nets out and how that, you know, in the end, balances out to what their take-home dollar is and what our industry sees as sales figures.
Or how the industry will respond by, for example, one of the things that consumers really like is ideas on how to use leftovers. Well, the industry is going to have to step up in that area, because if people are going to buy, you know, various cuts of meat and the price point's going to be so high, they're not going to want waste. They're not going to want to put up with that. So they'll want creative ideas on how to use leftovers so that they can get more for their dollar that they've spent, especially because they've spent more for each cut.
Excellent. Well, thank you both very much for your time.
Thanks.
Enjoy the rest of the show.